The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member at tntradio.live. This is the Freeman Report with your host, James Freeman, on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back with me, James Freeman. This is the Freeman Report, and it is Thursday, the 2nd of February, 2023. Right, next up, I have Matt Letissier. I'm dying to speak to Matt. He's somebody that I have never spoken with over the past couple of years. He's done some amazing work pushing back against some of the government overreach and also raising awareness of COVID-19 vaccine injuries. Excuse me. Now, before we go over to DD Denslow for one of the big headlines of the day, I want to explore the question of what makes somebody decide to raise their head above the parapet. Now, this week on the show, or over the last week, we've heard from Christine Anderson, MEP, about how her father was conscripted in the Second World War as a young man. And on return to East Germany after the war, under communist rule, he wouldn't keep his mouth shut. And he actually ended up being sentenced to hard labor for being outspoken. Now he served 5 years in that prison. But when they released him, did he stop asking awkward questions? No, he didn't. And it's clear that this has had a big impact on Christine, because she is one of those politicians you know that they will never silence. Christine also talked about the fact that she has learnt not to rely on others to say what should be said. You need to do it yourself. We've also heard from Dr. Aseem Malhotra on the show, who talked about the values instilled in him by his father and his school, and the fact that at the end of the day, the reasoning for him is actually, it's a rational argument. You see, Aseem talked about the understanding that while it's dangerous to speak up, it's more dangerous not to speak up, because the problem just ends up getting bigger and bigger. And then yesterday we had Francesco Donato, MEP, on the show, and she talked about her grandmother and how she was outspoken and was a role model for her. And Francesca also talked about how her values and principles are more important than her fears over speaking out. Now, I'm not sure where I got my inspiration from to drown out any fears or feelings of fear about speaking out, but I do understand how I do it. You see, people who act in the face of potential threat, whether that's financial, social, or physical threat, all understand that while acting or speaking out is dangerous, not doing so is more dangerous. Now, the real lesson here is that if we spread this message and more people realize that it's a state of mind that you can learn, then we become invincible. Because we are the 99%. The 1% can never overcome a united, focused majority. It's just impossible if we all act together and understand the power of principles, values, and knowledge over fear. Now, if you ponder one thing today, make it this. If you're already speaking out, then good on you. But make sure you talked to people that you know about this fact. Because if we all speak out together, like I said, we become invincible. Right, now, did you know the many ways that you can listen to TNT Radio? You can listen to us on the TNT Radio website, that's tntradio.live, but you can also download the app from the Apple App Store or Google Play Store, and we even stream live on YouTube, Rumble, and Odyssey. So you've got no excuse not to listen to all of our great shows. Right now, stick with me, because I've got DD Denslow joining me in a moment for one of the big stories of the day. This is the Freeman Report with me, James Freeman, on TNT Radio.
focused on the facts.
It's never biased.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Right now, the UK sees the biggest stroke in a decade. Strike, rather. definitely strike. UK sees the biggest strike in a decade as school teachers join walkout.
Actually, I was going to say the country's having a stroke, James. Before yes. Before I go, in case I don't get a chance, you've got Matt Letizier coming on. Super excited about that. I was just actually trying to explain to the student, to the studio, Jeff, who Matt Letizier is. Can you believe somebody Jeff's age has never heard of Matt Letizier? I was just explaining that he's probably scored some of the greatest goals ever seen in the English game. Anyway, back to the stroke. The UK saw the biggest single day of strikes in a decade
strike,
on Wednesday.
I think.
Yeah, strike. We're up to 500,000 workers, including tens of thousands of teachers, joining the nationwide industrial action. The mass walkout involved members of seven trade unions, probably all working together and coordinating together, including civil servants, train and bus drivers, and university staff. Picket lines were mounted outside railway stations, schools, government departments, and universities up and down the country. The National Education Union, the NEU, said it believes more than 200,000 members joined the strike, affecting around 85% of schools in England and Wales. More than 100,000 members of the Public and Commercial Services, the PCS Union, also went on strike, including border agency staff at ports and airports. At the Prime Minister's questions in the House of Commons, Impostor Sunak criticised Labour leader Sir Keir Starmer for voting against proposals to introduce minimum service levels during strikes and opposing changes to the Public Order Bill intended to crack down on disruptive protests by climate activists from organisations such as Just Stop Oil. Sunak said, "What do the unions and Just Stop Oil have in common? They bankroll him and his party," talking to Starmer. "So while he sides with extremist protesters and union bosses, we stand up for hard-working Britons and school children." Starmer replied, "After 13 years in power, trying to blame the Labour Party for his failure to sort out the strikes is rank pathetic. They're both equally to blame. The strikes are a consequence of the last 3 years and now the subsequent economic meltdown that we're experiencing in the UK, which appears, at least to the report and into the mainstream, to be worse here than almost anywhere else in the Western world." And for Starmer also to say, it's all your fault, Sunak. And I'm not giving any credence to Sunak. If Labour had been in charge for the last 13 years, I suspect the economic meltdown right now would probably be a lot worse, because they wanted to push even harder on all the restrictions that the Socialist Conservative Party were put in place over the last 3 years, James.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the context here is that, are we really saying all of these people that are striking, whether they're teachers, whether they're NHS staff, ambulance drivers, I hear the fire staff now are striking as well. Are we really saying all of these people are just greedy people who have no care for their jobs? I don't think so. I think the context behind all of this is that over the last... Well, I mean, this has been going on since the financial crash in 2008. Certainly when you look at nurses' pay since then, it's been below inflation and also below average wage rises in the UK. And, you know, one of the things that's happened over the last 3-4 years with all of these lockdowns and government restrictions is they've actually created the biggest wealth transfer we've ever seen. Lots of new billionaires have been created. You know, we all know about the Amazons of the world not paying their taxes and all of these offshore companies holding property and all the rest of it. So, you know, I think it is disruptive. I mean, I've got two young kids and my wife needed to take the day off yesterday to look after them because I was on the radio show, obviously. And it is disruptive. I get that. But we really need to start looking at the context around all of this, because I don't believe that all of these hundreds of thousands, if not millions of workers, are all greedy people that just want lots of money from their jobs. I think the majority of them actually care deeply about the jobs that they do. And I think they've been put in an awful situation where, you know, you're working 40, 50 hours a week in some cases, and you are hardly able to pay the bills. How can that be right when we have this huge transfer of wealth? As I said, we've got big companies like Amazon not paying their taxes, and we've got the creation of multiple new billionaires in the UK. What are your thoughts, Darren?
It's a mixed bag. People have the right to strike, and that should never be taken away. And yet people are probably suffering financially. They can no longer afford the lifestyle that they were used to 3 or 4 years ago. I also do think a lot of the strike action is coordinated and political in nature, particularly when it comes to organizations like the education system. I can, you know, speak quite honestly that 99% of the people there will be very left-leaning, very labor-orientated, and very much influenced by their unions. So there is an element of this as it being used as a political attack, and people have to suffer. And in this case, children. And in fact, nearly 10% of schools had to close completely yesterday, and almost 50% of schools had to restrict attendance. Now, as a teacher, I find that very, very problematic, just as I do with the nurses striking and the impact that that has on our ability to provide healthcare. However, working conditions for both of those organizations is actually now probably, I could speak on teaching, not easy. And I'm pretty sure working in the NHS now, the working conditions there for some people, especially those who are striking, the nurses, the admin staff and all the rest of it, are probably pretty terrible and overbearing right now. And it may be that they don't think that the money that they are earning is fair for what they have to put up with, particularly in the NHS at the moment, James.
Yeah, I take that on board, Darren. I think, yes, clearly, particularly with the education unions, we know they are politicized. So all of the stuff that was going on during the lockdowns, you know, where teachers, we had the statistics which showed that actually teachers were less likely to get COVID than everyone else. And that was probably because, you know, their levels of immunity were higher than the rest of the population because, like others, they kept on working. So yes, okay, I take that on board. So it is, you know, I think that the situation is complicated. But I do think overall there is something has gone very, very wrong over the last, well, it's been going on for many years, but certainly since 2008, the financial crash, where we're seeing lots of very, very wealthy people getting even wealthier, and then our workers, the working class, not being paid properly for what they're doing. Right, thank you very much, Darren. Now, you're on at 1 o'clock today again.
Yep, I'm on at 1 p.m. to 3 p.m., digging deeper. I've got John Mappin, a local legend. He's been in the news again lately, as he often is. And then I've got Ollie Colony, who was a listener, but he's also a listener of TNT. He's also an ex-BBC employee. He's been on before, and he's joining me at 2 p.m. So stay tuned in on TNT Radio.
Fantastic, Darren. Well, thank you very much, and I'll speak to you tomorrow.
Cheers, James.
Right, okay, we're going to take a quick, cheers, Darren. We're going to take a quick break now, and when we come back, we will have Matt Letissier on the line. My name is James Freeman, and this is the Freeman Report on TNT Radio.
You should hear what Hesher, CeCe, and John are talking about on State of the Nation.
We found an interesting Twitter thread on this posted by Lauren Witzke. She was a 2020 GOP nominee for U.S. Senate. We are investigating a tip that three of the five officers in the Memphis PD beating of Tyre Nichols were members of the Vice Lords gang and under their direction. Other gang-related beatings were reportedly found on their phones. Recordings as proof of carrying out the beating.
I was pretty shocked when I saw this. It did look very much like a gang-style beating. So that's what I'm seeing in the Twitterverse. As far as my own resources, all the law enforcement professionals that I know, including my own personal one, They absolutely are appalled by what they saw, and that is not what they represent, the good cops. However, I am seeing another side, that there is far more to this story than just the beating.
State of the Nation on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
A deadly virus emanating from Wuhan, China is sweeping across the globe.
Something is off.
The disease caused by the novel coronavirus has been titled COVID-19.
What we're being told doesn't add up.
It's so important in this crisis that we in. That people
Congress passes a multi-billion-dollar bill that will bring...
There is no cure, no way to treat this illness. All we can do is wait for a vaccine.
All we can do
is wait for a vaccine.
There must be a doctor out there who's questioning this.
I'm Dr. Peter McCullough. I'm the vice chairman of internal medicine.
The only chance to reduce the risks of hospitalization is early home treatment. We can beat this pandemic.
Patients actually think the virus is untreatable. There's such a focus on the vaccine. Where's the focus on people sick right now?
The pressure to suppress any hope of treatment is extraordinary.
Why the single-minded focus on the vaccine? What is that? What is that about?
That's really going to be the goal of investigative reporters to figure this out.
Unprecedented lockdowns, devastating economic damage, huge violations of personal freedom, families separated from their loved ones, all in the name of a medical emergency.
Things won't go back to truly normal until we have a vaccine that we've gotten out to the entire world.
The hope we have of protecting our communities is to get a needle in every arm.
I am not going to follow what you are suggesting and let the virus slaughter my patients.
John, I'm watching what's happening. This is a treatable illness.
I don't think this is a matter of academic debate and confusion. What the evidence shows is that this is an organized criminal enterprise. They call this a business opportunity.
People need to know the truth.
We are witnessing the greatest organized crime in history, to the tune of trillions of dollars.
The biopharmaceutical complex is using censorship, propaganda, and manipulation to keep people living in fear. But what we need now is courage.
The Courage to Face COVID-19. Available at CourageToFaceCOVID.com.
Elon Musk says Twitter's censorship of the Hunter Biden laptop story was the definition of election interference, and that the firm was acting as an arm of the DNC. We mandate that the truth be told. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back to the Freeman Report with me, James Freeman. It is Thursday, the 2nd of February, 2023. Now, if you've just joined me, I've just had Hedley Reese on the line. So Hedley is a pharma insider with decades of experience in terms of pharmaceutical manufacturing and supply chains. So we had a fascinating conversation about all of the failures that have happened with these COVID-19 vaccines. If you missed the show, then it'll be up on the website tomorrow. Just go to tntradio.live, go to shows, and then you'll find me, James Freeman, and you'll be able to listen back to the show there. Right. Okay. Next up, I have a very special man. I have Matt Letizier on the line. Now, I've spoken to many people over the last few years, but I've never ever spoken directly with Matt. And so I'm really, really honored that he would be on the show with me today, because Matt is a freedom warrior. And we've had many on the show over the last couple of weeks. We've had Dr. Asim Malhotra, Christine Anderson, MEP, Francesca Donato, MEP. And Matt, like these people, is one of those people who's put his head above the parapet to speak out, despite the fact that he has much to lose by doing so. Hello, Matt.
Good morning, James.
Listen, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's a real honour to have you here today.
Oh, it's my pleasure, mate, and good to talk to you as well. We've got to all stick together on this side of the fence.
We definitely have. Right. Now, like thousands of others, I've watched the video pinned on your Twitter feed where you talk about sort of your motivations and why you're doing what you're doing. What I'd like to explore first with you is, what do you think, you know, makes what ingredients or kind of role models or life experience creates a person which is not afraid to put their head above the parapet despite all the risks? I mean, what's your story on that, Matt?
It's a very good question. And it's one that I've kind of asked myself a lot over the last 3 years or so. What does make somebody able to see through the propaganda and the BS that we've been subjected to over the last few years? And it's really difficult to come up with an answer. I've seen various studies which predict that about 20% of people do have critical thinking skills still. But I do think a large portion of the population have been dumbed down deliberately through the education system and indoctrinated to basically sit there, do as you're told, obey orders, and repeat mantras. And I wasn't one of those kids.
Yeah, so clearly some people are better at critical thinking, but that's not the only ingredient needed, is it? Because I think there are lots of people who potentially see what's going on, but they're too afraid to actually act on that. So, and you know, the people I've spoken to, like some of the people I've just mentioned, you know, it's usually been a role model in their life, or, you know, they've had some kind of influence somewhere or some life lessons, which has meant they're not prepared just to keep stum.
Yeah, I think probably the way that I was born, I think is a big reason. I've always been able to kind of question things. I think they allowed me to question things to a certain extent, you know, not to the point where I was maybe disrespecting my elders, but I think being able to question things is got to be an integral part of society. You know, nobody has all the answers to everything. Nobody's right 100% of the time. And so you should always be allowed to question things. And that was, for me, was one of the main things that kind of aroused my suspicions when COVID first started, is that you weren't allowed to ask questions. You weren't allowed to go against the narrative. You weren't allowed to question the science, you know, and anybody who kind of with half a brain will realize the whole point of science is that you do question it. And you test hypotheses, and open debate is the way that we move forward in this society. And all of a sudden, in March 2020, all that was stopped. Although I'm not sure, looking back now, there was too much of it before then. But there certainly became none on the mainstream media. Ofcom was strangling everything that the media were allowed to report on, and it became we became. Almost like a communist country. We were pretty much a communist country where, you know, you weren't allowed to question anything. And if you did, the police were at your doorstep or, you know, trying to arrest you for going out for a run, and all crazy stuff that was going on. And when you look back now, it's just like, wow, how do we allow that to happen?
Well, particularly when we hear stories this week of from Big Brother Watch, that the British Army was spying on people. Like, I'm sure there's probably a file about you, Matt, somewhere. But, you know, Dr. Tony Hinton, Julia Hartley Brewer, just normal UK citizens asking questions about government policy. So you're right. Things have gone a bit mental over the last few years. Now, obviously, you know, you've been you were a professional footballer and then a football pundit. So first of all, I'd just like to make it clear, you know, you're not making money from this, are you? If anything, you know, you've had to make sacrifices to speak up.
I've made a huge sacrifice to speak up. Yeah, it cost me my job speaking up, you know. So, I've not put myself in a particularly great position financially. I played in an era of football where I didn't earn enough money to last me the rest of my life. I have to work. I have a mortgage to pay. And I have bills every month. So, and those bills are going up quite a lot. As most people, a lot of people predicted back in 2020, and were ignored and told that we were granny killers because, you know, we were concerned about what was going to happen to the economy a couple of years down the line through shutting off, you know, supply chains and printing billions and billions of pounds worth of useless cash, and bribing people with furlough money to keep them locked down. So I've taken a hit financially because of this, I think anybody who tries to use the term grifter against me wants to do a little bit more research as to what's gone on in my life, and perhaps take that back. And if only they knew.
Yeah, that term is very, very much like the anti-vax term, isn't it? It's designed just to shut down the whole process. It's a very derogatory term. Now, you know, I don't want to necessarily talk about how we sort of became awake over the last couple of years, but I want to talk about what it felt like. Because for me, I think, you know, I've always known that, the government isn't necessarily always got our best interests at heart, and the media lies, and, you know, that we all knew that growing up. But I think the last 3 years and what's happened has been a bit of a revelation. And there was a point, actually, I think it was in 2021, where I had to come round to the conclusion that our government now is working in concert with the mainstream media, but also with very, very powerful entities that do not have our best interests at heart. And when I accepted that and I fully realized what was going on with all of these injuries and these harmful products that lots of people have been persuaded to have, it was quite a painful process, actually. And I was quite upset when I had to accept that. Have you gone through a similar process? And tell us a little bit about that.
I think I probably realized in March 2020 that our government didn't have our best interests at heart, and that our media were in lockstep with the government. Ofcom, as I mentioned, strangled any reasonable debate and questioning what was going on. It was a lot earlier than that for me. Did it upset me? Not really, I don't think, because I think very early on in my life, I'd understood that governments didn't seem to be there for their people. All they seemed to want to do is take more and more money off of them by way of taxes and inventing new taxes every now and then. And so I've always had my suspicions about authority. And that kind of even went from childhood, when I would question as a child, I was questioning decisions that adults were making who were refereeing my football matches, because I didn't think they were being fair. And fairness is a big thing in my life. I like things to be right and proper, and I like things to be fair. I'm a Libran, which means that I'm a very balanced individual, and I just like things to be, life to be balanced. And unfortunately, in March 2020, life became very unbalanced and very unfair, especially to the poorer people in this country. The obvious deliberate destruction of small and middle-sized businesses in this country is just something that can't be denied now. The evidence is so overwhelming that this has been an attack on the lower and middle classes, and the biggest transfer of wealth that has ever taken place to the elites over the last few years. And I'm sorry, I'm not willing to sit down and shut up and put up with it. So I will speak out, and I will continue to speak out.
Well, thank you for doing that. Right now, we're going to take a quick break for the news headlines, but don't go anywhere, because we'll be straight back break with Matt Letissier.
Now,
I've got good news and bad news.
TNT Radio News.
Matt Boyland here with your TNT headlines. US private military group Mozart has been swept up in a damaging scandal, with the group's founder accused of fraud, extortion and sexual misconduct. An international group of researchers have reenacted the giant tsunami that is believed to have wiped the dinosaurs off the face of the Earth over 60 million years ago. And the United States has reopened its embassy in the Solomon Islands 30 years after closing its doors, as it moves to counter China's push into the Pacific.
Globalist agendas, democratic rights at risk, corruption, propaganda. It never stops. For the news and views silenced by the mainstream media, by government and corporations, vote one. TNT Radio. Free speech always has a home here. Stay up to date with the latest live news and current affairs delivered by our lineup of expert commentators and hosts. Listen to TNT Radio anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
Welcome back with me, James Freeman, on the Freeman Report. I've got Matt Letizier on the line with me. Right, Matt, tell us a little bit about the work that you've been doing over the past 3 years. What are the real important sort of highlights of what you've been doing? What are the things that you've been speaking about that matter most to you?
Well, where do you start? I think it's just really for me been a question of trying to put questions into people's minds about what's going on, because as I said, I believe that we've been lied to on a grand scale. So I've always just tried to be a reasonable voice, putting the other side of the story across. And that has obviously come with a lot of abuse on social media from the 77th Brigade and all the bots and the trolls around. I guess my point and my purpose has been to try just to get people to try to think about things in a different way, and try to make them understand that their government really doesn't have their best interest at heart. They do not care a single jot about your health, because if they did, they would have been, over the last couple of years, they would have been promoting healthy campaigns in the media instead of fear campaigns in the media, which is very damaging to your health. So I then moved from Twitter onto Getter, free speech platform, where they were not stuff that you were about the vaccines and all that stuff. So I moved on to Getter and I started doing a weekly live stream and interviewing voices of people that had been silenced on, you know, various social media platforms and were not getting a voice in the mainstream media, despite being incredibly well qualified. And so every Monday night on Getter at 8 o'clock, I've been interviewing, you know, people like Peter McCullough, Dr. Asif Malhotra, had Robert Malone on this week. But, you know, also I've been trying to mix it up a little bit as well. I had sports people on there. You know, and other freedom fighters that have been willing, as you say, to put their head above the parapet and let people have a voice and let people hear the other side of the story. And that's why I called my Monday night show The Flip Side, because I think that's one side that we haven't been allowed to be told over the past couple of years. So I think the most important thing for me was allowing a platform where people were able to get their message out where they hadn't been before. And obviously I've got a fairly decent following on Twitter, and my Getter following is going up pretty quick as well. So, yeah, it's been nice to be able to give those people a chance to get their point of view across and let people make up their own mind. That's the big thing for me over the last couple of years, where, you know, debate had been stifled and you were only getting one side of a story. It was pure propaganda. And I believe as an individual, as we as humans should be able to always hear both sides of the story, and we should be able to make up for ourselves which side of the story that we're going to believe. Because I think as humans, we have a natural instinct and a gut instinct to sniff out bullshit. But if we're only getting one side of the story, you're not getting a chance to sniff out that BS, and you become propagandized and you become brainwashed. And we know that that's gone on in the past. We were told that, you know, things like MK Ultra had been shut down, but have they really? I don't believe they ever were. And I think it's something that's been going on for decades. And I've come to the conclusion that this whole scenario over the last few years has been very well planned over many, many years, and didn't just happen by accident.
Yeah, I mean, with censorship, give me the an example of the most extreme kind of experience you've had with censorship. Obviously, there's lots of different social media platforms, but yeah, what's been your kind of experience with censorship over the last couple of years?
I've only ever really been on Twitter, social media wise. So I've never done Facebook or Instagram or all that stuff. I've always been pretty careful about what I'd shared on Twitter. So I was almost self-censoring because I knew if I, you know, said too much, that I would have my account suspended. I had a few people reporting stuff that I'd tweeted out. They weren't happy, and it was checked by the Twitterati censors. But thankfully, all the tweets that I was reported for, none of them came back to say that, you know, this was against their rules and that I should be thrown off. So I was very careful about what I was putting on there. So self-censorship in my situation, but a lot of other people were not. They were taken off of social media for, you know, almost citing government data from the ONS. You know, you've got people being actually taken off social media for quoting actual government data. Now, if that doesn't stick a massive red flag in the air for any sane individual that something isn't quite right, then I'm sorry, you are clearly brainwashed.
Certainly are. And what do you make of this? You know, I think another big red flag is these stories from Big Brother Watch. What do you make of all of that?
It doesn't surprise me. That's the really, really sad thing. Once I realised, found out about the 77th Brigade and what they were doing, it really didn't surprise me that they were spying on these people. I could tell by the replies to, you know, some of the tweets that I was putting out there. And it almost became very easy to spot those kind of trolls in the 77th Brigade. You know, these were just accounts that just didn't look like a normal person's account. And once you're kind of aware of this, they become pretty easy to spot. So I just the block button when I see those kind of things. I don't let it get to me. I just put them out of my life. I don't allow that kind of negativity into my life. I block and forget and move on, because that's the only sensible thing to do. You don't engage too much with these people, because that's what they want. They want to try and sap your energy. They want to try and, you know, use up your time so that you can't use it effectively. And that's all part of their plan. So when that report came out, sadly, it didn't surprise me one bit. And the surprising thing, I guess, is that more people are more angry about it.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing that I've pondered on a lot over the last couple of years is that there must be people, you know, I accept the fact that not everybody is kind of awake, and there's lots of politicians and powerful people that are under the spell. They're in the matrix. They believe what they're being told by the mainstream media, which is really pervasive. But there must be some people in power, in whether they're politicians or very powerful individuals, that do know what is going on. I mean, I thought a lot about this, and I just cannot understand how they can carry on with what they're doing, because they've got family, they've got friends. I mean, what are your thoughts on this, Matt?
I believe there are probably some good people in Parliament, but when you do stand up and stick your head above the parapet, what happens is what's happened to Andrew Bridgen, and they set their lackeys in the media on these people. And they go for them. They do hit pieces on them. They bring up any piece of information that they think might damage their reputation, and they will go and attack the messenger. And I put a tweet out this morning, actually, just saying, you know, just focus on the message and not the messenger, because if your only defense is to attack the messenger, and you can't attack the message, then I'm sorry, but you haven't got a case. If you can't be intelligent enough to actually look at the message and think, I don't agree with that message, here's my point against that message, If you can't do that in a reasonable debate and you have to attack the messenger to try to take away from the message, then I'm afraid you're wrong and you've lost.
Yeah, especially when it gets to name calling as well. And clearly Andrew has been accused of being an anti-Semite when actually he was actually quoting an Israeli cardiologist. Now, the other thing that's going on at the moment, and I do feel that the government is hoping that this is all going to go away, is the excess deaths. Now, you know, you'll know very well, like me, that this has been going on since around May last year. All the way through last year, we were seeing excess deaths of around 1,000 a week. Now, some of those are COVID deaths. It's generally around 200, but there's an awful lot of deaths which are happening, which are unexpected. They're in young people. And, you know, the leading cause of these excess deaths is heart issues. What do you make of what's going on and the fact that the government, even though Minesta McVeigh stood up in Parliament a couple of weeks back and now she's written to the Secretary of State for Health, Steve Barclay, what do you make about the fact that we still do not have a proper investigation into this?
The only conclusion that you can come to is that the government know exactly what it is. And they don't want everyone else to know what it is. That's the only conclusion you can come to. Because if you were any kind of empathetic human being and you're looking at these excess deaths that are happening, knowing that, you know, the majority of them aren't from COVID, there would be an investigation. You would have to have an investigation. And why wouldn't you? Because when it first all kicked off back in March and April and May 2020, and we had a daily press conference at 5 o'clock telling us how many people had died and how many people have caught the dreaded lurgy. And they couldn't get enough of it, couldn't get enough of the death figures. You know, it was all over the place, all over the news, everywhere. And yet now we're experiencing massive excess deaths. And because they can't label it to COVID, they just turn a blind eye to it. And you just think, That just sums up for me and backs up everything that I have said for the last 3 years, that this government do not care. They know what's causing it, and it's been done on purpose. And that's the only conclusion I can come to. And every day that goes by where they do not investigate it, I feel more and more justified in taking the stance that I have with the views that I've had over the last 3 years.
That's a very, very good point. And the other thing to point out here is there are more excess deaths now than there were at the height of the pandemic, when we were getting all of those death counts every day. And the government was essentially saying, you know, be scared. Everybody is dying around you. So we're getting more deaths now. And it's like a pantomime where we're all saying, it's over there. And we've got Chris Whitty and other government ministers coming out saying, well, it's down to ambulance delays. It's down to the statins and people not taking their statins.
Yeah. It's breathing too many times,
isn't it?
Breathing too many times in a day, having too many eggs. Honestly, you couldn't make up the shit that they're talking about to try and make up the excuses for these. And, you know, I mean, it could almost be a bit more plausible if they came up with all these excuses, but they also said, oh, and it might be the experimental vaccine that we made everyone take, most people take. You know, if they actually just hinted at it a little bit, they might have a little bit of credibility. But the fact that they will not even, despite the fact that there's been, you know, the vaccine has been put on people's death certificates, despite that, they still will not say, oh, and it might be the vaccine. A small portion might be the vaccine. Nobody will even say it, which automatically tells me that, well, it's obviously that, because, you know, they're not even acknowledging the smallest way that it could possibly be that. And so apparently we still have to all, you know, worship at the altar of the vaccine, because, you know, that's the most amazing thing that's ever happened in this world. And, you know, nobody can say anything bad against it. Well, I'm sorry, but these vaccines kill people. And I will say something bad against it because you're just turning a blind eye. You're ignoring it. And the last time we had a situation with a vaccine like this, with the swine flu back in, I think it was 1976, I think somewhere between 25 and 50 people died after taking the vaccine, and the vaccines were pulled because of that small amount of people that had died from it. And yet now we are looking at tens of thousands, probably hundreds of thousands, and yet they're still going, la, 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 la. Nobody knows. No, no, it's not the vaccine. And I'm sorry, bullshit.
Yeah, absolutely. You hit the nail with the hammer there, absolutely. Right, okay, we're going to take a quick break now, but don't go anywhere, because after the break, we'll be back. And I want to talk a little bit about the World Health Organization and some of the plans that it has for us in terms of the pandemic treaty. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back just after this short break.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
What is baffling to me is how the meteorological community of the world, knowing what different sea surface temperature profiles can do, the relationship between warm sea surface temperatures in one place and cool in another, and the hemispheric pattern, be it the northern hemisphere or the southern hemisphere, why is it there's not more curiosity about this? Now, I'm looking at the sea surface temperatures right now, and of course, they're considerably warmer than 30 years ago. And I wish I could show you, but it is boiling warm southeast of Africa, southeast of Australia, right around New Zealand. That's got to be record warm water right around New Zealand, southeast of South America. Now, what is causing that type of warm water in those areas? Is it some kind of magic CO2 fairy? And why is the warm water in these areas? Why doesn't the CO2 fairy put it someplace else? These are very, very puzzling questions. I would hope that the meteorological community would take a look at these sea surface temperatures and ask themselves that. This is TNT climate and weather watchdog meteorologist Joe Bastardi asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you've got.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council. Scraping together all the news and information you need.
It's engaging.
At the top and bottom of the hour. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back on the Freeman Report with me, James Freeman. And on the line, I have Matt Letizia. Now, we've only got about 9 minutes left, but in that period, I want to talk a little bit about the World Health Organization, Matt, because yesterday I held a meeting. I work for the World Council for Health as well as doing this show. And I held a meeting with some very, very powerful people, both in the US and other parts of the world. And there's a lot of very, very concerned people about what's going on and all of these secret negotiations that are happening at the moment. And this is stuff that could happen this year. So Matt, I'm hoping at some point, because I am going to be calling on everybody I know this year to help out on this, because we're going to need one huge global awareness campaign. Are you aware of at all about what's going on with the WHO?
I've obviously seen updates and things, the pandemic treaty that they're trying to roll out, and basically trying to take over the role of governments are going to actually give control over their health policies to the World Health Organization, which quite frankly is really, really scary for the world, because obviously that organization is incredibly corrupt, run by a terrorist who was placed into his position of power. Quite frankly, for that man to be in charge of the organization who decides on our health, is not something I wish to adhere to. And so any help that I can give on that front, I'd be more than happy to.
Oh, that'd be fantastic. And I will be calling on everybody I know, just warning you now, because this is so important. Because, you know, if you realize the harms that were done by lockdown, the mask wearing, the school closures, and of course, you know, the vaccine mandates. And, you know, Matt, we actually got away lightly, I think, in the UK, didn't we, with the mandates? It was only the healthcare workers that were mandated, wasn't it?
It was, fortunately. I mean, I was on the NHS 100K march in January of last year, which we thankfully managed to get that overturned. And I think that you're right. There's a lot of countries who have been a lot worse off than we have in terms of restrictions and things. So perhaps, you know, all the demonstrations made a bit of a difference. And the kickback makes a bit of a difference. And I'd hope that is an example for people around the world to actually go, all right, okay, maybe we can make a difference. Because at the end of the day, these evil people who are trying to make up these rules, they need our consent one way or the other. And when you sit there and do nothing, they take that as consent. If you actually stand up for yourself and in big enough numbers and go, no, not having that, not having that, then they can't do it. You know, you've seen what happened with Nicola Sturgeon in Scotland when all the furore kicked off last week with the transgender. If enough people kick off, you can win against these things. They need your consent to do it. These evil people, they need your consent. And they take your silence as their consent. And once you know that, then you can do something about it.
Absolutely, 100%. I'd agree with you there. Another bit of work that you've been doing over the last few years is, I think, raising awareness, like me, of those that have been vaccine injured from the COVID-19 vaccines. We've only got a few minutes left, but I'd like to talk a little bit about that. What are your thoughts on what's happened to them?
Again, it's an issue where the government is just turning a blind eye to it. These people who were obviously very keen to go and help out in what, you know, because they were told that having this vaccine would not only stop them from getting it would stop you from passing it on to other people. And they did what they thought was the right thing for humanity, for their fellow people and for their government. And so the fact that the government now are just turning a blind eye to them and just going, oh, well, tough crap, mate. Sorry, you took it. It was your choice. You took it. Bad luck. I mean, how they can do that, I beg his belief. As a human being, I can't see it. How you can be in a position of power and look at that and go, well, actually, we coerce these people quite heavily into taking this. The least we can do for them is compensate them for their injuries, not make them wait years and make them fight and battle and go, well, you know, you've got to be at least 60% disabled for you to be able to get your 120 grand. I mean, that's not going to go very far. If you've got life-changing injuries and you've got to have treatment for the rest of your life, that ain't going to last you very long, let me tell you. So, yes, I'm angry with the government because of the way they've treated the vaccine injury. These people were trusting individuals who thought they were doing the right thing, and the government has completely and utterly let them down. And that's why I did my speech at the rally in London a couple of Saturdays ago, because I was just absolutely fuming that this government have turned their back on these people in their hour of need.
Yeah, and it's ridiculous, really. I mean, it totally contradicts the government. If they, you know, if they're saying they want the population to have these vaccines, it makes no sense, does it? Because, you know, I think most people accept that all drugs have side effects, and unfortunately, some people will, you know, suffer an injury either from a drug or from a vaccine. But when the government, you know, then ignores those people that have been injured, it doesn't promote people or give people confidence to actually take these products, does it? So it's totally contradictory to the government's motivations if their objective is to get people to take vaccines in the first place. So the whole thing makes no sense. And like you said, I think the only word I can use to describe what has happened to those that have been injured, you know, they've taken, like you said, they've taken the vaccines, coerced and bullied in many times by the government, and then who are now ignoring those who did what they were told was the right thing to do, and they've been injured. Right, Matt, we've got a couple of minutes left. What plans have you got for 2023?
Well, I'm just going to keep on trying to give a voice to people on my Flipside stuff on Getter every Monday at 8 o'clock. I will also keep speaking up for the vaccine injured until they are rightly compensated and the government actually acknowledge that they exist, because I think that's a fight that needs a lot of people's voices on side with them. And, you know, people with a platform, I urge you, if you've got a platform and you know something is not going quite right, you know something's wrong about all this, then please use your platform to do it. Yes, it might mean in the short term you lose a bit of work maybe, but in the long term you'll be much better off as a human being, and that's why I'll keep doing what I'm doing.
Excellent. Well, please do continue doing what you're doing, Matt, and just quickly remind people, if they want to listen to you on Getter, where do they go?
My handle on Getter is at MattLatisse7 with two S's, and it's exactly the same on Twitter as well.
Well, thank you very much, Matt. You are definitely one of the freedom warriors that I've had on the show. So thank you for everything you're doing, and thank you for coming on the show with me today. I'm James Freeman, and this is the Freeman Report on TNT Radio. Thanks.